The Lagos State government grabbed all of the headlines last week after its proposed ride-hailing regulations became public. The guidelines and regulations were a long time coming, and they represent the first real attempt at making some sort of rules for the ride-hailing space in Lagos, Nigeria. It comes at a time when ride-hailing companies like Uber and Bolt are facing a lot of regulatory headaches globally. In Lagos, the regulations introduced a licensing fee structure of 10 million naira for the operators with a renewal fee of 5 million naira. It spelled out requirements for vehicles on the platforms as well as the standards those vehicles must meet, and it even went many steps further. It also introduced a 10% service charge on all rides, and it asked the operators to share their entire database with the government. This is the Tech Cabal Weekly, a roundup of some of the more interesting things that are happening on the tech scene in Africa every week. We'll have conversations about all the important things you always bookmark, but you sometimes forget to get back to. We know you know it's important, and we know you feel a little guilty about forgetting to check sometimes. So week on week, we're your superheroes. We bring you all the good stuff that's happening in tech on the continent, and we have these conversations. The proposed regulations for ride-hailing companies in Lagos were not well received. A lot of people accused the government of trying to make business difficult in the state. People did the math quickly and figured that the 10% service charge imposed on these companies would be transferred to the end users. So the bottom line would be more expensive trips for people who use those platforms. There was nothing to like about such regulations. And in the end, public opinion was so strong that the government has now done an about-face, announcing some important changes to the regulation. First, it has reduced the licensing fees by 20% and has removed the 10% service charge on all rides. Instead, the government is now saying to collect a 20 naira flat fee per trip for what it says is a fund for maintaining infrastructure within the state. It has also clarified that it would not ask for access to the entire database of these companies so that everybody can now rest easy. So far, it feels like the ride-hailing companies have won this round. And in a move which was important for optics, the government got the representatives of these companies to show up for the press briefing, and it announced that the new changes will now go into effect on August 27. Another follow-up story from the past few weeks is about the e-commerce company Jumia. We talked a lot about Jumia in the past 2 weeks and about how the company's shares were enjoying a stock market rally, which briefly saw it return to its unicorn status. At the time, no one was quite sure the reason investors were so excited over Jumia shares. But we knew that Jumia's second quarter results for 2020 would help to shine some light and give us some context as to how the company is going to hit its much talked about path to profitability. So we'll start with a look at Jumia's quarterly report, and we'll start from some of the stuff that is good from its annual report. First, its operational losses have reduced for the second consecutive quarter. This quarter, it lost 37.6 million euros, a 44% decrease year on year. Another positive for Jumia is that its third-party marketplace revenues are increasing, as it looks to move away from the first-party marketplace model. What that means for Jumia is that it's transitioning from being the seller of these items to merely listing merchants on its platforms who are the actual seller. The difference is that with the third-party model, Jumia doesn't have to bear a ton of the cost and makes more money by earning a markup on whatever the merchant sells. It explains why for the second quarter, Jumia's gross profit after fulfillment expense reached 6 million euros, showing that Jumia is no longer making losses on fulfilling its orders. In Q2 2019, it saw a loss after fulfillment expense of 0.7 million euros. A few other positives for Jumia are that it has now decided to settle some of its legal disputes out of court for about 5 million euros. The legal issues are all tied to claims that Jumia misrepresented facts and figures during its initial public offering. Many of these allegations affected Jumia's stock market price, changing excitement from its IPO to skepticism of how much the company was really worth. At one time, Jumia's shares plunged to $3.95 as short sellers pushed a narrative that the company's shares weren't worth buying. Today, Jumia's shares are worth about $13, down almost 20% after the release of its second quarter results. The reason for the loss of excitement among investors is that many expected that this quarter would be great for Jumia because the pandemic would be great for Jumia's business as people switched to shopping online. On that front, they were right. Jumia's number of customers increased, but what remained uninspiring was Jumia's revenue. While more people shopped with Jumia, they were spending less on high-ticket items and more on household essentials. So Jumia posted revenues of 34.9 million euros, down 10% from Q1 2019. The company's GMV, that's its gross merchandise value for the quarter, also decreased 13% year-on-year to 228 million euros. The company also did a lot of talking around JumiaPay, its fintech product, and said that more people are using its fintech product to pay for purchases they are making on the platform. But there are many questions about what the company hopes it can achieve with JumiaPay and if it really counts as a fintech product. For now, Jumia's larger worries will be convincing investors that it can sustain this efficiency while it raises revenue until it reaches profitability. So that's pretty much it on this week. It's also what they mentioned that Max.ng has also launched its electric motorcycles 2 years after it first publicly talked about it. Thanks to everybody who joined us for this week's episode. Thank you guys. Thanks to the TC team for putting this together. Please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. We put this on Spotify, it's on Google Podcast, it's also on Apple Podcast. Listen, don't forget to visit our website, www.techcabal.com. That's T-E-C-H-C-A-B-A-L, for deep dives on all things tech in Africa. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram at TechCabal. Follow us, be sure to say hi, and give us your feedback and your general thoughts on this episode.